When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Last week on the Goody Goody, we learned a lot about Ashley Tisdale.
Remember, I don't know the full story. My sister's like, that's not true. This is what happened.
Yeah, we also, what I've learned is the dynamic between Ashley and her sister Jennifer is like, Ashley will be like, yeah, at home we have a baby beluga. And then Jennifer will be like, we just ate fish.
The girls connected, but also rifts were made.
I don't trust you, you know, one bit.
I don't trust you either.
Join us today for an episode you can't help but
love.
All right, let's play the conversation.
Okay. No, I think that you just have to be consistent. That's one of the things that I think, you know, obviously with this crazy algorithm now where some people can't see your post and you get half of the engagement. It's crazy because back in the day it was just like not like that at all.
Like that you're like
back in the day.
In my day, Instagram
when I first
used
started
to be
Instagram.
Fair.
But now it's just crazy. So I think consistency is key. And okay. So that's just always kind of like being on top of, you know, posting and all of that.
All right. So be consistent. Post a lot, but don't post too much. I've unfollowed because people
post
are
too
just
much.
Posting.
I do too. It's
is daily too much?
No, daily's fine.
Daily's fine.
I just think
into
sometimes...
Into the feed daily is fine?
And yeah, wait, what do you mean?
Into the feed?
There's, yes.
Girl, there's stories and there's feeds.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, you need to do the in the feed for sure.
In the feed.
Daily.
Okay.
I wouldn't do like 3 times a day.
No.
But, you know, some people
that's the
don't
balance.
Post at all and then they'll do 3 times a day in like 1 day. That's fine. But if they're posting like every day and then like post, you know, then you post like 3, that's like so much
yes,
happening.
Too much.
Yeah.
Keep it for the story.
Yeah.
Can a story have too many dingle dongles in it?
Because
I've had some crazy nights where it's like I wake up the next day and you
can't
even see.
Sometimes I just can't get even through the whole thing, you
yeah.
know, sometimes with people. So then I just like move on.
Yeah, you move on, but you don't
unfollow. I am one of those weirdos that like I'm OCD. So then I have to like go through everybody's Insta just so the circle isn't around them.
Have you watched mine?
Yes.
Is it good that I post videos of myself working
yeah.
out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
I
told you this morning,
them.
I was like, you killed it.
Yes.
You know, there I was sleeping, but you were killing it at the gym.
I was killing it.
You do Vitru Fitness.
Yes.
Is that a secret?
No.
No. Mm-mm. And it's pushing heavy things.
Heavy things. Working out with a trainer. And pretty much feeling like you're dying. When they're there.
Yeah. It's like a pretty positive thing about, I mean, just since I was cast on the show, I lost 20 pounds.
That's so good.
And it's...
I don't know where the 20 pounds were, though.
Oh, they were hidden in all my pockets.
Okay, got it.
I didn't realize it either. I mean, now I'm wearing my pants and they're like loose on me. But I was just, when I moved to LA, I was in a writer's room eating snacks, sitting down and never getting photographed.
Mm.
So it was just like easy to slowly gain the weight. And I really didn't realize it. Because my wife is also a wardrobe stylist, so she just kept on buying me bigger things.
Oh, no wonder she has such good style.
Yeah, she's so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, lucky, she goody goody.
And Wolfie's got good style too. I
Chris
knew it
has
didn't
good
come
style,
from
or you dress him?
No, Chris
Excuse
has good style.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
I don't have any sound effects for like, you've wronged me. I'm going to insert one right here.
Okay.
Do you dress Chris?
No, he actually dresses me.
He dresses you?
No, he doesn't dress me, but he has such great style and he's just very minimalistic. And so like minimalistic in his closet. So then it's just like things go easily. You know, he shops in a way that it's like, oh, it all goes together.
Mm-hmm.
And so he taught me to kind of like, I used to just like wear crazy stuff and like, just colorful stuff. And like, he kind of taught me about like blacks and whites and grays.
And, like, I'm just like more... picturing you with like a clown nose and like full rainbow outfit.
No, I mean, for real.
Babe, have you heard of black?
Yeah, he's like,
it comes in jeans.
No, but I will be like, hey, every, like, I'm not every day, but like most of the time I'll be like, babe, does these shoes go with this outfit? Because he does have good style, like from a very like, well, he does art, so it's like, I think he just like
visually,
looks,
yeah, you know, it's like Shauna, like everything visual just, yeah, makes sense to her.
He'll be like, those shoes are too much with that outfit, and I'm like, okay, thanks.
You take off your 9 foot yeah, heels.
Yeah,
I wish I came up with a better shoe than a 9 foot heel.
Well, it's okay.
How do you deal with regret? That's not real. You guys,
is that,
are
you
so
trying
cute
to do your little like thing, but live?
Yeah,
how
to make
do
a
you
life
deal with how regret? Do you deal with regret?
And that's how you
Hollywood scoop.
Oh, whoa,
scoop.
It's going crazy now.
That's a spicy tip.
You guys have been married for 5 years, and you're so mm-hmm cute together, and it's nice to see you together. And we've both we've talked. Look, I've been talking to Ashley for literally 17 hours.
I'm taking off the stand.
Oh, shit. She's going solo, honey.
Solo. In this chair.
Shall we do a duet?
Oh, when you're in a relationship and it's your marriage relationship. Tell me, Ashley, how do you do a good marriage? Your lyrics are amazing. I love when you improvise your songs. What are the tips to marriage? Is that what you're trying to say?
Are you so mad at this podcast?
No, I'm just trying to figure out what happened.
Would you rather I go on a 40-minute monologue
about
Hollywood?
I can't wait for
Hollywood
my agent to hear this podcast.
Honey, first of
he's
all, you're going
like,
to get an HGTV show
no
with your dad.
Hanging out with Sabrina the dressing
oh,
room.
No.
I'm kidding.
I've cut out all of the spiciest secrets, JK.
No. Okay, tips to marriage.
Yeah, like in terms of like looking back on relationships and then like what are the successful parts of your relationship with Chris? And I will trade you and give you my successful parts with Shauna, or maybe I'll just
know.
Copy you.
Successful parts? I don't know. I mean,
like, what keeps it goody goody?
I guess just like
kissing.
Oh, wow. No, I think that like, well, me and Chris love to talk about stuff. And so it's like cool
passion.
Because, yeah, it's just like, I think that for us, we communicate really well to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just like, oh, he's so cute and hot. And like, I love to look at him. It's like we actually have like in-depth conversations,
about
which is really
looks.
About the way he looks.
Yeah,
you know?
Getting deep and having get like really liking the person that you're
yeah,
with.
Yeah, and like liking hanging out with that person and like them understanding you. I mean, I remember when I, before this relationship, I always kind of felt like, and even still today, like with some of my friends, I feel like they don't really understand me as a person because I'm kind of dry sometimes and sarcastic and funny and like I don't know. I just feel like some people
don't get it.
Yeah. Like I'll feel like lonely in the room sometimes. And I
hope
think,
not in this room, honey.
No, I don't. I feel like you totally get me, Sabrina. But no, with Chris, I was just like, oh, like I felt like for the first time someone like truly understood me.
Yeah.
And
when it clicks and
yeah,
it feels easy.
It just like clicked. And I was just like, cool. Like this guy thinks I'm awesome.
Yeah.
Because I am.
Yeah, you are awesome.
I am.
Awesome.
How did you, one thing that I just thought of is like being an adult when you are successful as a kid, how that's like probably like not as smooth a jump when you are successful as a like child actor.
Well, see, I think that's the difference is because I wasn't really a child actor. Like,
that's
I mean.
And then I wanted to add that you were not a child
actor.
Okay,
got it. Okay. So I was like, because I think the difference with like me and becoming successful was I was 18
okay.
playing 15.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why like it was easier for me because I kind of had gone through all that stuff in high school. So
yeah.
Then I was just like, knew that this was like my work and my business, and I didn't really confuse the two.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't know. I feel for people who, you know, make it at like 15 to 16
yeah.
years old because you're just
well,
like,
now that I'm realizing it, it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, if you would have made it at 15, you would have gone through high school with this dynamic of like, I'm the successful, famous kid, and it
yeah,
would
and then,
not
like,
have
but
been
also you're like dealing with other like weird stuff, you know, as a 16-year-old, you know, you're just like trying to figure out who you are and like, mm-hmm. you know, what you want to do. And then like, I mean, that's just a lot to handle.
What was your biggest like struggle in high school? Was anxiety like, there at all or no?
No, not being really comfortable with myself. Like I obviously, you know, was an actress. And so I would do TV shows and like guest star on stuff. And like mm-hmm. some of my, you know, peers would see me in it. But I was so like, I never talked about being an actress. Like I was so like, I like, didn't even want to talk about it. Yeah. I was just like uncomfortable. And like anytime somebody would be like, are you an actress? Or like, what do you do when you're like not here? Cause sometimes I would obviously have to leave school for like a month if I was shooting a pilot or something or a movie. And I just like, I didn't really know how to feel comfortable in my skin and like comfortable even just being an actress, because I felt like people like either judged me or just like treated me in a negative way from jealousy and stuff. But like, I just never talked
people
about it.
People assume that you were like, oh, she's so busy, she's got to leave school kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they were just like, it's funny because I grew up in like a area where like a lot of kids like had Beamers from their parents that bought them that. And then I would have, I had like my first car was a Lexus IS, but it was my first purchase ever since I worked since I was three. So I was like, my parents were like, listen, we can buy you a car, which would be this, or you could buy yourself the car that you want. And I was like, I'm gonna buy it. And so it's funny how some kids would treat me bad. And I'm like, you know, here I am that worked really hard to get this.
I bought my car.
Yeah. And they just kind of, but maybe that's why they treated me that way. It was because it was just like a weird kind of funny thing. But
the jealousy around just your independence in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just like something that I just never felt really comfortable. And then once I graduated, I remember being like, oh, wow, I don't have to see these people every day. And like,
so you don't have any friends from high school that you
I
hold on to?
Did. I tried to stay friends with like especially my best friend for a long time. And also a couple of my friends from seventh grade even.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was also the new girl that came into town. So mm-hmm. I'm originally from New Jersey and I, you know, flew from New Jersey to California. And I was like,
when you were 16.
No, seventh grade. So I like seventh grade and I was like, did not know anybody.
Damn.
So I didn't really know the kids for a long time. Like I still have
the
one of my
packs
like,
have been formed.
Yeah. And like, I still talk to my best friend from New Jersey since I was three. So okay. I still have like those friends. But unfortunately, like in, yeah, like a lot of the people that were best friends from they were younger in Valencia, like they don't talk to each other. So it's like a weird thing. And they, I don't know. Like, I remember, like, I was really good friends with a lot of the guys. And then as soon as I got successful, like, their girlfriends would be like, you're not hanging out with her. Like, you're not going to hang out with her, right? And I'm like, why are they being this way? You know,
I'm just
like,
wearing a clown costume.
I'm like, what? So, yeah. So I don't really get to talk to, you know, many people out there. But yeah,
that's cool that you're friends with your best friend since three.
Yeah, I mean, she's been my number one since
what her first name.
Three.
What's her first name?
I forget.
But she's lovely.
No, her name's Kim.
All right,
she still lives in New Jersey.
Kim, Sabrina Jalise.
Yeah,
and then you've got actor friends.
Yeah, then I have my like. You know what it is? Is that
you're friends with Vanessa, who I worked with as well?
Yes, I felt like actors really kind of more understood, you know, because I obviously went to acting class.
They're going through the same thing.
Yeah, they're going through the same thing. So it's easier for me to become friends with everybody in the business that I was in. So I've had, you know, a lot of friends.
So true.
True.
Since, you know, acting class back when I was 14 years old.
Who are your favorite actor friends?
Oh, who are they? I mean, there's just so many of them.
And who is the actor? Will you say the actor that you're like, oh my God, I love this person, and meeting them is like special for you?
What, like an actor that yeah. I'm not friends with? I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Two people.
Tell me.
Jen Aniston.
Yes.
That I literally, my legs were shaking when I met her.
She's so cool. And I've been watching it's Friends. She was 26 person. When Friends started.
That's crazy.
So cool.
That is so crazy. Yeah.
No, she's so nice.
The nicest person
ever.
How
did your hand go down?
We used to train at the same spot and
on purpose?
Run in. Yeah. I stalked like, her.
They're lifting weights for 24 hours.
Yeah. No, her husband at the time, Justin Thero, would always be there as well. And I had no problem talking to him. I was just like, hey, what's up? We'd always see each other. But when she came in, I was like, my legs could not stop shaking. And I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And one of my trainer was like, go say hi. I was like, no, no. And I went to go grab my stuff. And she's like, hi, I'm Jen. And I was like,
yes.
Hi, I'm Ashley. And I told Justin like the next week how I was so excited and nervous to meet his wife. I was like, oh my God, she's so cool. I was like, I could care less
about
you.
And it doesn't change for you just because like you've been on the receiving end of it. It's like, that doesn't mean that you can control your legs from shaking.
I know. I was just like, this is the coolest thing ever. Yeah, that was pretty epic. But then I also met Angelina Jolie.
Oh my God.
But she was years
Anyone
ago.
Anyone that Brad Pitt has married is someone that you're like, I must be
I'm
friends.
Trying to get to Brad Pitt, obviously.
Have you met him?
I haven't, no. But my best friend just did a whole movie with him.
Whoa. You didn't do
Once
a set,
Upon a Time
it?
In Hollywood.
Oh, cool.
No, I didn't.
And then how was it when you met Angelina Jolie?
I met her, I would say like 8 years ago. And I was on my way to Germany. And I was like on a, like, I forget where I had landed. Or maybe I was in Germany, landed. We
what were
in, like,
you doing
this,
in Germany?
Well, I was on my way to the premiere of High School Musical 3.
Oh, cool.
And I just darkened my hair. And they put us in these like VIP little areas to mm-hmm. wait for your flight. And but these VIP areas is not like, you know, it's really interesting in Europe. They're separate rooms. Like you have your own room waiting for a flight. It was really
what?
Crazy. Yeah, it was wild. So I was staying okay. in, you know, one of the rooms, and of course it's like 3 a.m. My hair is like up in a bun. I'm like a mess, and my mom's with me, and they're like, "Oh, Miss Tisdale, this is your room." And they're like, "And Miss Jolie is right next to you." And I was like, "What?
Oh my God!"
And I was like, "Stop it!" And I was like, "Oh my God!" And I'm really shy, like when I'm
this is
people.
Like a room in a lounge, and Miss Jolie is next
in
to you.
In one room, yeah. I'm in one room yeah. myself. Yeah, there's like these separate
there's snacks.
Rooms.
There's probably amazing
yeah.
snacks.
Yeah, there's just like there's a bed. It's like crazy. It's
Holy
like a
shit.
Different. Thing. So I was just like, oh my God. So I was just like, do I say hi as I'm leaving? Because I never want to, like, you know, I never want to just like interfere on someone or just like, I don't know,
well,
just
you know
take
what
up
it's
their
like
time
to be, like, in your day and have
yeah.
someone have
so
expectations.
I was just like, oh, it's like 3 a.m. light. I don't want to say anything. Should I say something? Should I not?
Like, what is say something? Gonna knock on the door at 3 a.m.
I know. Well, we were all like, waiting for our flights. So I said to
famous here.
Yeah. No, but the woman came to get us for our flight, and she was like, are you ready? And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, is she still in there? And she's like, yeah. I was like, I want to say hi so bad. Cause I knew, like, Vanessa always tells me, like, when I see someone, she's like, you have to say something, Ashley. Like, I've always been quiet and shy and don't say anything. So I was like, I've got to tell Vanessa I met her. Like, Vanessa is gonna be like, did you say hi? So
Hudgens, I know I was being cool by saying Hudge, but I just want everyone Hudgens. To know that I know. I don't want.
So I went over and she was like, yeah, she's in the room. She's really nice. And I was like, oh, okay. And I walked in. I was like, hi, Miss Jolie. And she's like, hi. And I said, oh, I'm Ashley. Nice to meet you. And she's like, oh. And she saw me. And she goes, is this your mom? And I was like, yeah, this is my mom. She goes, oh my gosh. And then she looked at me and she goes, oh, my daughter loves your movies. And I was like, couldn't even believe that she recognized me, said, just dark brown hair. And I was like, really? And she goes, oh yeah, Zahara loves your outfits in those movies. And I was like, oh my God, she knows the movies I'm in. And
oh,
she was
my God.
Stunning at 3 a.m. Like, her hair was like straight down, and she was just
how
like
does
this
that happen?
Stunning, beautiful woman, like glowing. And I was just like, oh my God, I look like crap right now, and you look so good. Like, I want to get on that level where you're just like,
is that, what is
walk
that
into
level?
A room. Why? I don't know. Like, you look like your hair and makeup done at all times. But she I had no makeup on. She was just like, she was just, I think, you know what it is?
She
it's
did
all
have
the
makeup
beautiful
on, but she
work
doesn't
that she
know.
Does. It just, it literally
what
pours out
work?
Of her actual pores.
The beautiful not-
work that she does, like the charity and everything that she does.
Talking about like surgeries.
No, I don't think she does surgery. Jeez.
It's all the beautiful work she does.
It's like the charity stuff.
Oh yeah, the charity stuff goes into her face.
Yeah, it just probably comes out of her pores.
Yeah, charity is important.
I think it gives you a glow. It's really like
should
she's
we do
like
charity?
A beautiful
Let's do
person.
A big charity thing.
We should.
Let's do it.
I love doing stuff.
Charity for beauty.
Yeah.
Charity for vanity. No, let's do a good charity thing though.
I no, honestly, I really do love doing any type of charity. it always,
it feels so good because this world is so tough these days.
There
or maybe
are so
always,
many things that
like,
we can be doing. It's
so
crazy.
Many things. I did a fundraiser for Races recently.
For what?
It sounds like I said for racists. For Races. Like, Races is that organization that helps with people at the border getting
I was like, did not know what you said at first. That's awesome. One of the, because you have a kid, I think you would really enjoy it. But I don't know if you've ever been to the St. Jude Memorial Hospital in Memphis, but let me tell you, it is by far the most amazing hospital. Like I obviously I've always donated. Yeah. And it's like it's never easy obviously visiting kids in the hospital, but I have to say like I've done it a lot and I usually do it like around the holidays and most of the time it's in LA. But and it's like I have to stop myself from you know getting emotional
falling apart,
because it's so hard. But St. Jude is just like, well, first of all, they're run off of donations completely.
Okay. Wow.
And
so no one's getting a bill.
No one, not even the family. The family stays there with them. They put them out, housing, food and everything.
That's
is like
so
all
sweet and the
together.
Way it should be when bad
yeah,
things
when
happen.
Your like child is going through something. Yeah. But you walk into the hospital and you're like, there's no white bare walls. It's like art and colorful. And it's like, I remember hearing something and I thought a kid was crying and the kid was laughing in like one of the little wagons and I was just like, oh my gosh. And we've gone multiple times. That the first time we went, we made cookies.
You've gone to this hospital multiple times?
Yeah
because I so sweet.
Yeah. We made cookies with these kids and one of the little boys was going through chemo at the time. And I'm not kidding you, 3 years later I go back with Chris and that kid comes up to me and he's walking out cancer free.
Oh my God.
And I think they have like something like an 88% success rate. It's insane.
Wow.
But I think it's really the positive and like the liveliness of the hospital that like also helps. And like the doctors eat with the patients.
Yeah, your attitude
and like,
sets everything. And probably your cookies too.
I mean, obviously like when
you
we
start
do cookies.
Making Ashley Tisdale's
cure-all
cookies.
Like, they're just, you know, I think it's just a different, yeah, different thing. And it's just so, it's so great.
Well, you were talking about that, but it was probably that Lucille's book that you were talking about. I think the first day we met, you were talking about reading this book that's like, it's about your mindset. That like, if you fix your mind, that's like most of the battle.
Yeah. Oh, it's your power to heal. That's
your power to heal. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good.
Have you ever been tempted to join a cult?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking. It's just, I'm saying you've read a few books that are like really like...
I once read the Scientology book.
Oh, God. But that's real. But that's not what we're talking about right now.
I have not wanted to join a cult.
We are not joining cults. There was that actor that started a cult.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Keegan?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was friends with him back in the day.
You were?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you always know he was going to start a cult?
No, I just knew him on Seventh Heaven.
You were on Seventh Heaven?
I was. I guess started on Seventh Heaven, yeah.
What's your favorite role been? Annoying question, Petrol.
My favorite role.
What's your most profound thing you've ever said, Ben?
I mean,
what was like just a role that was fun? You don't have to say it's the most fun role. Obviously, playing Jenny Kenny on Carol's second act
is
September 26th.
So I love doing all the stuff that I've done. I mean, like what I think.
I guess High School Musical, though, must have been... Did you know when you were cast on that it was going to be explosions and you were going to stay in suites in Germany in the airport next to Jolie?
I didn't. No, none of us did. That was, like, I think the best part about it.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't, like... I think the best part about that movie and that franchise is, like, it literally was the people making it successful. It wasn't, like, a book like Twilight that, like, everyone knew those movies were going to be huge. Like... We had no idea. And it really, even Disney didn't even know. They didn't even do the Disney machine behind us. Like, I remember, like, they didn't even send us to Europe until after it became, like, they didn't even know what was on their hands. They were like, oh, okay. They were trying to, like, figure it out. Because I don't think they, I guess in the, I don't know. Like, I think they thought maybe a musical for the first time was, like, it wasn't budget-wise or anything. It was just more, like, they just didn't know how it would be perceived, like, a musical in high school. So obviously everyone had no idea and it was wild. I mean, that was definitely a fun character. I do
How
have
old
to
were
say
you?
When I did that, the first one I was 19.
Wow.
And then the second one, I think I was 21, no, maybe 22. And then,
so it was like little things, little things, little things. And then 18, Zach and Cody. And then 19, bleep, bloop, bloop, movie star, honey. Honey.
Honey.
Honey. You count you the know. Millions, honey. That's what brings in when I'm my face on something, honey. And I keep offering you this, Ashley, but if you want this person to be your agent, honey, you just let me know, honey.
Oh my honey. Gosh. You okay. So funny.
Go on.
What if it just starts to get dark in here and we've been here for like hours?
We have been here a while. Oh my
and
God,
we've just
been talking for an hour. This
and-
is okay, we'll cut that part out.
Oh man.
Got that. Okay. Dreams for the future as we sail away into the past.
Sail
would
away.
Would you do
sail away?
Sail away. My goal was to do a song with you on this, so
really?
Yeah.
Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby. And if you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far, don't worry, baby. And I'll call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry.
Oh my God, I met Susan Sarandon.
You did?
Yes.
Wait, do you know this because of that movie?
Yeah.
How did I know that's how?
She sings the song, right?
Oh my gosh.
I met her.
Stop, so was she nice?
She was really nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you just saying that because you're on a podcast right
now? No. She totally was nice. I think there's a thing. I mean, again, just like with meeting celebrities where it's like, she's
I
Ashley,
start to get ADD.
Naked toe is pulling on the wire of my microphone.
Trying to get you.
I think that means she wants to talk for another hour.
My feet are very talented.
What I mean is like she was super nice. I didn't get like a one-on-one Susan Sarandon moment. It was like at a party at my friend Jim's place. And I think everybody there was like, she'll pull me aside and she'll teach me the lessons of life. And it's like, no, she's just a true person at a party that wants to eat cheese and drink wine.
Oh my gosh, that's
awesome.
But
she did talk politics for a while, which was good and on brand. And I was happy to be a part of it.
Oh, very cool.
Yes, very cool. But truly what I wanted to ask you was, in terms of dreams, honey, in terms of the future, ooh, I've got a sound effect for this one. In terms of, are you gonna do a little wolfy one day? In terms of, shut your ears if you don't have one, it's baby talk.
That's not wolfy.
That's not wolfy.
That's you in the background.
The one that's going, yeah. No, that's probably something.
Okay, I was like, wait, that is insane.
Will you do a baby?
Oh my God, girl. You like hit all the questions pretty
much. I did,
yeah.
Right?
One day. One day.
And do you want me to carry for you, girl? My wife would be so mad.
Yeah, you're like,
I was like, no, I won't get pregnant, babe.
And then you're like, guess what?
Ashley's gonna pay me to have her, babe.
That's so funny. I think one day, I think like right now we just got a puppy, so we're still trying to figure out that right now. So
same thing.
It's too much sometimes, you know, it's hard to handle.
God.
We both work.
A puppy
and it's like,
is a lot.
I know. Little Zig.
You can't put diapers on a puppy.
I know. Well, I mean, I guess you could, but that's gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
Do that.
No, Ziggy's, she's learning. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, I think like right now I'm just so focused on work and I have a lot of it. So
yeah, there's no pressure to. Shauna just is turning 40 this year. She just,
oh, cool.
She had her baby last year. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, Wolfie's only one?
He's a year and a half.
Wow.
Isn't he so
three.
Huge? He's 6'4". Gorgeous long hair.
He is so beautiful.
He is really a big child,
oh
for
my
sure.
Gosh.
And
he's
really
so
beautiful.
It's funny because he looks more like you than your wife.
Well, you know the story.
Yeah, I do.
I used two people like a paintbrush and I painted myself.
I know, for real.
You're gonna have to listen to other episodes to find out how I made Wolfie, but basically our donor was my surf instructor and basically I asked him for a little bit of his jizz and basically we did it ourselves.
I think that's amazing how you're just like literally got the courage in like your second lesson to be like, can you kind of just
well,
do
it's
this
either
for me.
Like it's like one of those moments. It's like I felt the same way when I met Shauna. It's like you're looking at someone and you're like, I like she was just dancing at this bar and I was like, I want to meet her so badly, but the stakes could not be higher because in my mind I've already decided you're my wife. So like,
did you
how
know
do
if
I...
she like if she was like straight or not? Or
well, it was a gay party called Brownies for Bitches.
Okay, well, so then that's a little easier. So
yeah, like she's dated more men than women, but she was like in a place where she was like, I'm kind of interested in women, and I was like, I'll seize the moment.
Yeah.
And then I finally talked to her, but it's like those moments where it's like
you just
it's
know.
Like that Eminem song, you know, palms are sweaty, mom's spaghetti.
Oh, love that song.
Lose yourself.
Yeah.
To the music. Actually, the lose yourself to the music part is not.
Yeah, probably
just
not.
Just the palms are sweaty.
Yeah.
It feels like double dutch and you're like trying to get in, you know?
Yeah.
But it's all in your mind. Anyway, I was nervous, but I just said to him like, hey, so I said like,
so wait, did you have to stay where you guys were?
No, we went home, back to LA, calculated her ovulation for 4 months, then went back to Mexico on a jizzness trip.
Wait, what do you mean?
Jizzness trip. It's a catchy, I thought you'd laugh.
No, wait, but I'm still, okay, wait. They didn't have sex though, right?
Sometimes I feel like you don't get me.
No, I'm trying to figure
no,
the story out.
No, they didn't
out.
Have sex, Ashley. I wouldn't be like laughing and telling the story if the end of it, my wife gets fucked by another man.
Really trying to figure out where you're going with it.
Oh, my pants are full down.
Oh my God.
No, he came into a sterile cup. I put it in a syringe.
You did it yourself?
Yes, dude. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. There's
yes, we
no
did
way.
It ourselves.
You and did I want that everyone shit yourself. To
know, yes, I did that shit. I did it all.
Did you like research and shit?
Are yeah,
you
my
a
friend?
Real doctor, Sabrina?
I'm a real doctor. I don't just play one on TV. No, I want more people to know this. Like even
what?
Straight people that are having trouble getting pregnant, calculate your ovulations, pee on a stick. There's like, I think it's called first response. You pee on it. It tells you when you're ovulating. That's the only time that you can get pregnant is when you're ovulating. And it happens like, you know, for like 48 hours of a month. And then, but be careful if you're straight, don't take, you know, don't, I don't want any, I wish I hate, do you ever, you have to talk so much. Does this ever happen to you?
What?
Where you start saying something and then it goes in 1,000 different directions and it's like pinball and you're yeah. like, I wish I wasn't in this sentence right now.
Okay.
Does it
yeah,
never...
kind of, but I'm trying to, I'm watching okay. yours right okay. now. I'm really
okay. I'm going to just back out of that one and just say, you find out when you're ovulating and then you take a syringe. The person comes into a cup, leaves. Sperm stays alive in a warm and wet place. It can stay alive for like way longer,
what?
But like it stays alive as long as it's. So then I put it into a syringe, like a needle without a needle, like 10 cents on Amazon.
Wait, syringe like a plastic though?
Yeah, like the needle without a needle, like the plastic part.
Okay.
Yeah, not the pointy metal
yeah,
part.
Sharp, okay.
Don't inject yourself with sperm.
Obviously, I never took it.
Some like Amelia Bedelia lesbian listening to this being like, right away. I keep shooting up jizz.
Okay, wait.
Okay.
So happened?
you put it in next to the cervix. Which is the part inside you that like, you know, the cervix. I go feel around for it. You know where it is. And then look on the internet. My mom's on this podcast. I call her at the end of every other episode.
No way.
So there's moments like right where I was about to describe like how to find your cervix. And I'm like, I can leave my mom out of that.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Okay. So put it next to your cervix and then raise your hips and watch Moana like we did. Yeah. And then the sperm will hear like, I've been standing at the edge of the water. Long.
You guys
and then
watched
Wolfie swims.
Moana?
Yeah. We called our donor back. He lay in bed next to us and we all watched Moana. And that was the night that Wolfie was conceived.
Shut
yeah.
up.
And we like had Shauna and I, like he left the room and Shauna and I made love.
Yeah.
Oh, we made passionate love, mama. And because that's all like good, you know, like keeping.
So wait, he had to wait for this whole situation
yes.
to happen to be called back in for the Moana.
Yeah, there was this
movie.
Cute balcony, and we had this inside joke.
He was on the balcony.
No, he was.
You left him on the balcony for the entire time.
We gave him an iPad. No, he went down onto the street. We called him from the balcony.
Got it.
There was this like fancy resort near where we were staying. We did this in Sayulita, and there's this fancy resort called Litibu. And so we like personified Litibu throughout the week. We're like, is Litibu coming? Is she going to bring her diamonds? Like she was like, Litibu is like this like rich character we invented of like, oh, Litibu will get the check. And so we, when we were done, when he was done with doing his thing, he like went to the balcony. He was like, Litibu. And then we came up and then we did our thing. And then we're like, Litibu.
Oh my God.
And Wolfie's just lucky his name's not Liddy Boo.
Yeah, so lucky.
So that's what we did.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is the ending of the podcast.
I can't believe you think it's the ending of the podcast. This is episode one, honey. Okay, do you have... Well, you're not going to tell me what you're going to name your child. I end my podcast by we say nice things to each other.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that's so nice.
That's a sweet thing.
I still can't get over you guys watched Moana.
Yeah. Such
he looks
movie.
Like something out of Moana.
He does look like something out of Moana. He's totally,
you guys were like manifesting.
He was like choosing his features while we were watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ashley, what I really love about you is that you are a real cool, fun, funny person, very generous, thoughtful, very real, which was not unexpected, but I knew when you got cast, I saw like the deadline and I was like, oh my God. And then I like went to your Instagram and I was like, ah! And I was like, we're working like, with a machine.
Like, who is this? Yeah.
I think I tweeted you or comment on something, and you're like, this bitch is crazy.
This chick's insane.
I think I was like, can't wait to work like, with
and
you.
And that's my new cast member.
But yeah, you're really super funny, sweet, and kind.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, and I like that you have like the just this business savvy. And that you share your tips with me.
Oh, well, thank you for saying all of that. I'm done. Just kidding. No, Sabrina, you are super cool. You are really funny. You cracked me up on every single scene you're in. Actually, fun story. When I watched the pilot, I was just like, let's see how the show is. You know, like
you had signed up for it already?
Yeah, I already did. And then I was like, let's see how it turned out. And so I was like watching it, and I have to say, you popped off screen. I was like, I love that chick. She is so funny. And then just like hanging out with you, like, I mean, I feel like the closest to you, and we like definitely chill. And I don't know, I feel like I'm just like able to talk to you, and you're so sweet, and your wife is so awesome, and you have the cutest little baby, and I don't know, you're just like funny, talented, obviously talented. You write so many like amazing lyrics and songs. I can't imagine you as a writer and a staff.
So what you're trying to say is you'd like me to write your next album?
I think you should.
All right, stay tuned, goody goody listeners and beyond. This is Sabrina Jalise
and Ashley Tisdale
signing off
from Carol's Second Act.
From the dressing room
of Carol's Second Act.
Next to a bottle of Blushing Bear Rosé.
Blushing Bear Rosé.
Blushing Bear Rosé goes down smooth, and Kyle MacLachlan made it. All right.
Call your mommy.
It's time to call my mama. Let's see if she will connect with any of our Ashley Tisdale topics of anxiety, depression. Hey, Mama.
Hi, Bina. How are you?
I'm good. You're on the Goody Goody podcast.
Oh, goody goody yum yum.
Goody goody gumdrops. How are you doing? What are you up to?
I was going to start cooking supper.
What are you going to make?
I'm going to make meat with Eddos, which is Irvi.
What's Irvi? Oh, wait. Irvi is Urdu for...
Irvi?
What is that?
Eddo. It's called Eddo. Eddo. It's kind of like a potato, but like if you find it in a store, it's like never really nicely shaped, and it's a size of a small potato, and it's kind of hairy on the outside.
Yummy.
And when you cook it, it's kind of like a potato, but it's a lot...
healthier?
Creamier than a potato. And actually, yes, the glycemic index of a herb is a lot better. That means for diabetics, it takes a lot longer for it to go in, you know, to convert to sugar into your blood.
And as all the listeners know, daddy has diabetes, so mommy is goody-goody making him healthy things.
I used to not like it too much, and when I found out that it's so healthy, now I like it. Yeah.
Okay, speaking of health, today or this week's guest... This week's guest was Ashley Tisdale, who's super famous. She's got 40 million followers across all the social media platforms, and she grew up in the business. And about a year and a half ago, she started getting these anxiety attacks. So she started reading books mm-hmm. and stuff about dealing with anxiety and depression. And I was wondering if you've ever had anxiety or dealt with anything like that.
Actually, I'm quite lucky I haven't. And I probably could have, because I've had, you know, sometimes not the easiest life.
Like when you were living with your in-laws? Like when you were living with your in-laws and raising your kids?
With having the family and, you know, like, you know, different culture and expectations. And
my dad is the eldest of eight, and they all...
It hasn't always been easy.
Yeah.
To tell you, to put it mildly, you know. And then also when you came out and the family, you know, the reaction from the family and all that.
Yes.
But for some reason, I guess, I think that, you know, some people just maybe have something, just like some people maybe are prone to get cancer or whatever. Maybe there's something in their body that maybe, you know, because it is it's a sickness, really.
We were talking about how it's kind of fluid and it can change, because she was dealing with, like, she had, you know, was starring in movies and stuff like long before the anxiety, mm-hmm. but things can change. The physiology around you changes and all of a sudden it becomes more difficult.
Yeah, something can change in your, you know, just like you can have like some kind of an imbalance, right? You can have, for instance, you can be very low on vitamin D or whatever, which can cause all kinds of problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the same thing, there can be an imbalance of whatever chemicals there are involved in the brain and with
and
the mind.
And just life
and
gets more difficult. Like you can, you know, carrying a 50-pound bag is much different than, you know, being crushed by a ton.
Yeah, I think that people who are perfectionists probably are more prone to get, you know, anxiety and depression, because for them, if things are not perfect, it's kind of difficult, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. She did say she's a perfectionist.
I find that, you know, like all the people that I know that are perfectionists, they have a little bit of, you know, that tendency, you know, to take mm-hmm. things.
So from the outside, you know, then, because you are not a perfectionist, but you like things done the way you like them done, Mom.
I like things done the way, but over the years, I had to give up a lot, you know.
Because Dad kept duct tape
you know
fixing
what I mean?
Things.
a lot, you know.
But it still bothers you if, like, something needs to be done and then Dad does it the Dad way.
Then I have to let it go because, you know, it's not going to change.
Okay,
like,
so then letting go is something that you've gotten better at over the years that's probably good for someone who's a perfectionist.
I think if it's not absolutely necessary, maybe just try to, you know, let go a little bit. I mean, ideally, everything should be a compromise. Everybody should, you know, let go a little bit, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, let's say if, you know, Dad's always wearing his outdoor shoes inside, maybe he should try to remember to change.
Maybe.
You know, it would make me very happy, but, you know, it doesn't, most of the time doesn't happen, you know? So what am I going to do? Am I going to get depressed? I just, you know, once in a while I shout at him, you know, whatever.
Okay, so it's kind of morphed into marital advice, which is that everything should be a compromise, and yet at the same time...
Life is a compromise, and if you cannot compromise, then, you know, life is, I think, very difficult. But then, you know, other people should compromise to you too, right? You shouldn't be the only one compromising, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's true.
But I you know... I guess with depression, you know, I always thought, oh, well, you know, just pull up your socks and look at the bright side. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk to people who have had depression, it's very difficult. It's very difficult for them to get out of that hole that they're in. You know, even people that I know that I never thought that they ever were having issues of depression, you know, And they tell me the same thing, because I always thought, because, you know, Heidi has had, you know, issues with depression. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's still on medication. I'm against medication, but if nothing else helps, then
yeah, sometimes
I think
you need
medication
to pull up.
Has to be there, you know, because are you going to, you know, be depressed your whole life? No. You have to get out of it, and hopefully, you know, you take the medication and hopefully you can get reduce the medication or get off the medication.
Do you think that people in your generation have a stigma with therapy? And how do you feel about therapy?
Yeah, I think probably there's a stigma, you know, typically speaking, you know, somebody who went for therapy probably was a little bit crazy. Like, you think about people to be crazy, right?
Yeah, you know, I think people associate therapy with, being an insane person.
Even mental
versus
illness, you know, somebody who was mentally ill was crazy. Like, it's an illness. It's like having, you know, cancer or having arthritis or whatever. You know, we have to look at it as an illness and
but
try
even,
to help
but
them.
But haven't you seen, because both of your kids are in therapy and doing well in their lives, and I don't think you'd classify us as crazy. I mean, you think I'm crazy. But, like, we're using it as a tool.
I think it's a little bit, it's a little bit the end thing to do right now. That's what I think.
You think that we're doing
but
it because of trends?
No, I don't think so. But when you look around, like,
no, but mommy, mom, you're saying it's the in thing to do. But don't you think that wouldn't your generation have benefited from just losing the stigma and having it be kind of more of a normal thing to do, to go check in with someone who understands?
I think the good thing, yeah, I think it's like having a really good friend who listens and has good advice, because it's always, when you have any kind of issues, it's always good to have an outside person giving you advice, you know, somebody who can look at whatever issues you have, whether you have issues with your partner or whatever, you know, can look from the outside and see both sides. Because most of the time when there is a problem, it's both sides a little bit. One side probably a little bit more, but it's a little bit both sides. Like they say, it takes two to tango, right? You know, you can't tango by yourself. That's what they're saying. It's a saying. It takes two to tango, you know?
I just never expected you to connect this chat with the Matthew Perry movie, It Takes Two to Tango, but I'm so happy you did.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. Of course, you know, people always think that the other party is more at fault, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to see outside of yourself.
That's how we think. It's hard to, you know, but if an outsider can maybe make you realize things, you know, better, you know, makes you look at things from the other side too, not just from your side, you know?
So maybe a therapist would be like, you know, Ursula, Syed loves his outside chapels and he just loves them so much he wants to drag them through your clean house.
Yeah.
You'd fire that therapist.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, mommy, thank you so much for the chat. Know, what's your okay, last, what is your last thought?
I have to say that you have to find a good therapist. You have to find a therapist who is not afraid to tell you that you're wrong. Because I think some therapists are afraid that if they don't agree with you, that they will, you will go and get another therapist. And some people will do that because they just don't want to hear the truth. So if the therapist is going to tell them, well, you know, you're at fault and blah, 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 they're just going to go somewhere else, find another therapist. You
yes,
know?
That's so I like that about therapist. My therapist for sure. There's moments where I've talked about something between Shauna and I, and my therapist is like, "Oh no, I'm glad she did that." And I was like,
"Excuse me." That's the thing. You need somebody who's honest, you know, who's going to give you their honest opinion. Yeah.
What the moment I was talking about was when I bleached my teeth right before the TCAs, and they hurt so badly. And I came home, and Shauna had been with Wolfie all day, and I came home, and I was like on the verge of tears. I was like, my teeth hurt so much, and she was like, okay, babe, it's your turn with Wolfie. I've got to go. And I was like, she doesn't care. She's not coddling me. And my therapist is like, no, this is real life. You're a parent, and you know you bleach your teeth, but no one's gonna feel too bad about it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess that's the last time you did that anyways, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to believe it. If you, just listeners, if you're going to Zoom your teeth. They do like three rounds of it. Don't take all three rounds because it hurts by the end of it. No one told me this, that it feels like your teeth are being electrocuted. So then I was in this press conference and have the most cameras pointed at me than in my whole life. And it feels like someone has like that Dr. Ho's muscle thing on my teeth. Was that too many things?
It can't be healthy, honestly. It can't be good.
No, they use some kind of chemical.
Not be good anyways, you know. So have your teeth a little bit off white, you know.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo, right?
Yeah, if anything. Whoop-de-doo.
Just keep flossing.
Keep flossing
and brushing and, you know, whatever, yeah.
We covered a lot of topics, Mom. This was a good chat.
Okay. All right.
Love you.
Okay, Pina. Bye. Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.